What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 205. All right, so I got another solo episode coming your way this week, and I kind of turn into a journalist, right? I'm going to read you a news article from a local newspaper, going to give you some statistics behind that, and really what this episode is around is something that is rather terrifying to me, because this news article hits home, like really close to home on a couple different fronts. Being somebody who coaches high school football and now middle school football as well, helping my son, being somebody that has a podcast, puts opinions out on social media. This is an article that I feel like should truly scare all of us. And at the very same time, it should give us more strength and more courage that we're not doing enough to fight back against this. And at the end of the day, the mission of this podcast is always going to be to help you live a better life. And when you are speaking from truth and when you are living a purpose-filled life, you will be a happier person. And that ties directly into this. Speaking of being happy, what can make you more happy than, like, you know, some burgers on the grill, some ribeyes, some New York steaks, right? Like, nothing makes a person happier than having a big old fat steak. So make sure you're getting the best steaks by going to crossomeats.com. Get yourself some good meat. Again, go to crossomeats.com. Get yourself some meat there. Get all squared away. Get all the red meat, because you're going to want to have some red meat when we go through this episode. I can guarantee you that. All right, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. Always excited to have you on board. This is another solo episode. So this week, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to give you like some, what some people call the Big J journalism. Kind of a new direction in terms of the podcast itself, something that I've never claimed to be, which is a journalist, and I still don't claim to be one. More so, I just want to maybe expose is the right word, some of the things that are going on here, and kind of bring it back to the core theme of what this podcast is, which is to help you, help myself to live a better life. Now, part of living in my opinion at least, living a better life, living a great life, living a fulfilled life, purpose-filled life, a lot of that comes back to truth and to beliefs. Some people who maybe believe different religious philosophies, maybe have different cultural mindsets, traditional values, things like that. It is my argument that we are in a battle right now. I look at this more as a spiritual battle. A lot of people will say, oh, it's a political battle. Oh, it's, you know, just politics, and this is how it's always been. I don't believe that to be true. And so when it comes to living a better life, I think a big part of that is being able to speak the values that you want to live, to be able to pass those values along to other people. But at the same time, what is happening, in my view, the way that I see it, and I could be completely wrong, I'm not saying I've never been wrong before, but I do believe that there's a very, very small minority of people, relatively small, I should say, that believe certain things and they go against most of the values of Americans, yet they have the largest microphones, the largest platforms to be able to spew this stuff. So the people like you and me, maybe, I guess I shouldn't speak for you, but maybe the people like me might feel like, oh my gosh, we are in the minority on so many of these issues. You know, we're outdated the way that we think, the way that we view the world. It's old, it's outdated, it's, all these other things that people might leverage these attacks against us with. And so what it does is it forces you to start self-censoring. You maybe don't say the things that you believe in because you're afraid that somebody might say something that, they might dox you, right? They turn you into your boss. They try to get you fired. They try to essentially, and I hate the word, but they try to bully you into submission to where you no longer want to speak what's on your mind. Why is that? Because the more and more people who believe more of, let's say, traditional values that aren't willing to speak up, the less the other people that think that way think that they're, that those people who also believe the same as you, they stop speaking up as well because they don't want to go against the grain. Maybe they don't have the courage or they don't want the fight or whatever it is. And so now all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of people who actually believe in sensible, common sense type of things. Then no one's willing to speak about it because they feel like they're in the minority because no one else is speaking about it. And there's an example this week, and where I get into this whole journalism thing is I actually want to read you an article from our local newspaper here. Not our super local, but I'm saying like our Idaho, the largest print publication in Idaho, which is called the Idaho Statesman. And this story is infuriating to me. It is something that hits very, very close to home for a couple of different reasons. So, you know, I'm scrolling through the interwebs and I see this headline and it says Parma School District's conspiracy loving head football coach is a problem. Now, you might be asking, why does this hit home for you? Are you some big conspiracy theorist? Well, I don't know. I don't really think so, but maybe. But I'm also a football coach and I'm also around young men at our local school. And what I see happening is there appears, at least in my opinion, to be pushback on people who view the world a certain way. Now, when I was younger, that wasn't that big of a deal. It was like, yeah, you know, Joe's a Republican and Bob's a Democrat and they argue about stuff and they don't see the world the same way, but they're friends, they go get coffee together, they work together, whatever it is, no big deal. Well, now we've gotten to the point to where we want to fire people if they have a different opinion. We want, you know, people to, in some cases, actually maybe die, maybe go to prison, you know, maybe, you know, have their lives wrecked or ruined because they believe certain things. And so this headline of this, again, this is the largest newspaper in the state of Idaho, based on my Big J journalism research. And this is from their editorial board. So this isn't, you know, purple-haired Mary in Boise or whatever that's like, oh, these people. This is their editorial board that wrote this. And this came out here today. So I'm going to read the article. It's not a very long article, but I want to read this to you because I think it's important for context. And I might skim a little bit of it, but so Parma's got a problem. Now, again, why this is also important to me, I used to coach against Parma when we lived down in the Boise area. Very small town, very small school. But it starts saying, Parma's got a problem. The school district in this quiet farming community of about 2,000 people in rural Canyon County has hired a seriously off-the-charts conspiracy theorist and far-right extremist, to be the high school's football coach. As many can attest, a coach can be an important mentor and influential role model for teenagers. And Jerome Bell claims that he has been just that in Virginia, where he spent years as a coach. Unfortunately, based on his history, his expletive-laced social media posts and dangerous beliefs and wacky conspiracies, he's the last person you'd want influencing your child. As reported by the Idaho Statesman's Ryan Soup, Bell is a twice-failed congressional candidate from Virginia who's fallen for Donald Trump's big lie that the 2020 presidential election was rigged and also is a fan of Trump-like diatribes online. He called the January 6, 2021 rioters of the U.S. Capitol seeking to stop the certification of a fair election, quote-unquote patriots, who, quote-unquote, basically went on a guided tour of the Capitol, according to the Washington Post. Many of those, quote-unquote, patriots are in prison now. And while he has no problem with a violent attack on the U.S. Capitol that sent lawmakers fleeing, he believes anyone who engages in voter fraud should be executed. A U.S. Navy veteran, he believes Ukraine, invaded by Russia, was the aggressor and compared what he called Ukrainian corruption to Hillary Clinton's deep state and Biden's regime that stole the election, according to the Post. He reposted on X, which, as we all know, formerly Twitter, he reposted on X that the a claim that the number of illegals Biden let in is 40 million to 50 million. In a recent episode of his podcast, he featured a nearly hour-long conversation with a doctor about crazy conspiracy that the FDA is pulling Benadryl from pharmacy shelves. The doctor's conspiracy theory is a doozy. The FDA wants to remove Benadryl because of the antihistamine is effective in staving off Ebola, at least temporarily, until natural immunity can occur. Kind of goes on this FDA rant. He has spread misinformation about voter fraud, and he has shared posts on Facebook that have been flagged as coronavirus misinformation, according to the Post. Who hasn't? But anyways, I digress. Bell posted on an X message to Democratic New York City Mayor Eric Adams to stop crying like a little bee and, quote, shut the F up about needing federal help with migrant asylum seekers. That's certainly not model behavior or language for a person in such an influential position. There's nothing wrong with having truly conservative beliefs about smaller government, limited regulations, and lower taxes. It's quite another matter altogether to promulgate beliefs and conspiracy theories that are completely divorced from reality and to lambaste people online. Fortunately, Bell is just a coach and isn't a teacher in the classroom. Because, of course, why would teachers in the classroom have any other beliefs outside of the orthodoxy? But I digress again. But he's a teacher in another kind of classroom, and he gets those students every practice outside of school. Bell said he doesn't talk politics or allow those beliefs to bleed into coaching football, but it's hard to imagine that his fringe ideas don't seep into day-to-day interactions with players. School district officials declined to comment on whether they knew of Bell's history, social media posts, or his podcast before they hired him. If they had known, would they have hired him to guide the next generation of Parma men? Now that they clearly know, what will they do to ensure his dangerous conspiracies don't infect his players? All right, there's the end of the article. So here's why this is so important. And again, I know this gets into the world of politics, and I don't like politics. I don't talk politics. Well, this isn't about politics. This is about real life stuff. This is a guy, and now I will tell you, I tried to find some of his social media posts that were so crazy, and I don't know if I found the wrong page or what. So I don't know this guy. I'm not here to defend him on what he may or may not have said. But based on the evidence provided in this article, what is it that makes him such a fringe right-wing extremist? Well, I did a little digging on this. So there's a couple of numbers. So the first thing that, one of the things they brought up is, you know, how many people believe that the election was rigged? Now, whether you believe it or not, that doesn't really matter in this sense. Because when you hear, you know, fringe right-wing extremist, you know, fringe conspiracy groups, I look at that as what, like maybe 1% or 2% of the population believes it. Like I think of that like, I don't know, like the lizard people conspiracy, right? There, where some of these wackos think there's lizards running around. Or, you know, maybe how the Sandy Hook school shooting didn't happen, right? Like there's actually like literally dead kids there. Okay, so that yes, there's like this fringe little group of people who maybe think those, you know, lizard people are real, or Sandy Hook school shooting didn't happen, things like that. Okay, so when I hear fringe, that's what I think. But according to CNN, who is not necessarily like a super, would you say, conservative or right-wing extreme publication or organization, you know, it says here that, now I lost it. It says that it had been as high as 72% in CNN polling of Republican or Republican-leaning independents that thought the election was rigged. Okay, so in this article here, I don't see where it talks about what Democrats feel about it. I assume they probably don't feel that way. But let's just say that if that number is 72% of half of the country, okay, because roughly half the country are Republicans, the other half's Democrats, why the elections are always so close. So, and this is also even putting in Republican-leaning independents. So this isn't just Republicans either. It's also people who lean Republican but identify as independents. 72%. So if we were to cut the country in half, say about 175 million people, and 72-ish percent of those people believe that the election was rigged, as you could probably deduct with some, you know, common core type math, that, hey, there's probably somewhere around 140 million people in this country that believe that in some way, shape, or form, the election was rigged. Now, do they believe that because they thought it was voter machines, or was it mail-in ballots, or all the COVID restrictions that changed all the voting rules? There's a number of things. I happen to actually be somebody who thinks that the election, at least to some degree, was rigged. I go a little bit different direction when you have 51 former CIA intel agents that come out and say that there's a story that is Russian propaganda that absolutely wasn't, and they come out to find later that they lied about it. That is a form of rigging an election. It's not allowing true information to get out to the American public, which sways opinion one way or the other. And that to me would be the definition of rigging it, right? Now you get into all the other mail-in ballots and stuff like that. I don't know. But just that in and of itself, through social media, I believe that there was at least some rigging. And when a newspaper classifies somebody as being a fringe right-wing extremist for thinking something that roughly by this poll, at least, you could deduce about 130 million other Americans believe that's not fringe at all. In fact, that's a pretty big minority of people, right? And this, again, doesn't take into account any of the Democrats in this specific poll. So having said that, there's number one. So if he is one of 130 million people who believe something, that's hardly some fringe belief. Now, on the side of the January 6th attacks, you know, there's roughly about 51%, according to NBC, again, not another super right-wing leaning publication. 40% said in one of their recent polls that it was, an assault on the Capitol or whatever, but 43% said that it wasn't. So again, these are tens and tens of millions of people, if not over 100 million people who believe these things. So why do I get into that? Because when you look at face value at an article like this, and if you don't actually read said article, you could have a very different opinion. If you hear that, you know, this school, this town, you know, Parma School District's conspiracy-loving head football coach is a problem, you might be thinking, okay, is this guy some right-wing extremist? Is he a Nazi? Right? Like, is he somebody like that? Oh, well, no, actually the dude's black, so that narrative doesn't work. But, oh, he goes against the FDA. Guys, I go against the FDA. So here's why I'm coming down to this. Because I believe right now, and I keep saying this over and over and over and over again, which is we have to stand up for our beliefs. And if someone says that you're some fringe right-wing extremist, because what's so funny is this used to be like left-wing, like, I don't know, yesterday it felt like. But when you don't trust the government, that doesn't make you a right-wing extremist. If you question the narrative that is being pushed in the media, that doesn't make you some little fringe minority group over here that's just a wacko, right? Like, so many of these things have been proven true over and over and over again that people like me and probably you, potentially you, were questioning that to be called this fringe right-wing extremist is actually insane, first and foremost, because a lot of these values actually used to be liberal. But again, I digress on that. But also, what they're doing now is they've learned they can't shut you up. And so what they have to do is they have to make an example of certain people. They have to tell someone like this. And again, maybe this is a bad guy. I don't know him, right? And I couldn't really find any information on his Facebook page around what the newspaper was alleging. I'm not saying it's not there. I couldn't see it. But having said that, what'll end up happening, in my opinion, is that the school board will come out and they will say, oh my gosh, we didn't realize this guy was a crazy right-wing extremist. He's a danger to our kids. We have to fire this guy. And then everyone will say, okay, good. And these people will have gotten their way. They will have effectively canceled this guy, just like we've seen time and time and time again. And here's the thing that you have to understand, is that the less people that are willing to speak up about the faith that you have, the values you have, the traditionalist view of the world that you have, the fewer people that are willing to speak up, the worse this thing is going to get. Like, in fact, I saw a couple of days ago, this high school full of kids walked out over a transgender protest. If every school that was trying to introduce this crazy stuff, if they just said, hey, kids, just walk out. Don't go to school if they're going to teach this nonsense, right? If they're going to force you to buy into this crap, if they're going to, you know, force you to go against stuff that's against our values, walk out of the school. Because you know what? If the kids don't go to school, there is no school. And so maybe at that point, it'll get some people's attention. And what I'm getting at is that all of this stops when we say it stops. But what's happening in the meantime is we're hoping that the silent majority will just go and win at the ballot box, right? We're hoping that the silent majority will just raise their kids in silence and, you know, in another generation, all this weird stuff will pass. Well, how's that working? The silent majority staying silent is what's enabling this minority fringe group, what really is a minority fringe group that believes a lot of this craziness, right? It's enabling those people to make you feel like you are in the minority when you're not. You're just not using your voice. And, you know, it was so funny because the other day, you know, a friend of mine, Ty, that I coach football with, we were in the locker room. It has nothing to do with politics. We're actually just talking about leadership on the field. And he said something that was awesome. And it's really more of a life thing, but in this context, it was football. Because again, we don't bring politics to football, regardless of what my thoughts are. We don't bring that stuff in, right? Because it's not the place for it. Not that I'm afraid of my views. Obviously, I have a podcast. I put them out there. But when we're in, you know, when we're at football, we're talking football. So having said that, though, he said, you know, if you're looking around for someone to be the leader on this team, then that's you. You're the leader. And the same thing goes in these instances. Like, if you're looking around for somebody to say the stuff that you always want to say, then you are the one who needs to be saying that. Now, again, not everybody has a platform as big as me with a podcast or whatever, right? But at the same time, you might have influence on the people around you. And you can have discussions with those people. You might have influence on your school board. You might have influence in your job or in your workplace, whatever it may be. But we're all so scared to talk about anything that what do? We end up just staying silent. We just take it and we take it and we take it. And I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, but I'm a Christian, you know, and I'm just going to go to church and I'm going to follow God. And, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. It's all predetermined. Well, God also talks about, you know, or the Bible at least also talks about loving the land that you live in. How are you able to love the land that you live in when the land that you live in is going to hell in a handbasket and no one is willing to fight for it? No one is willing to stand up and say, you know what, this is wrong. This is not okay. And it's so frustrating, you know, like if I put a post out on social media and people are like, oh, you know, like I've gotten messages before, like you're saying exactly what I think, but I can't say it because of this, or, you know, I can't say it because of this job or whatever else. You know, I've gotten so many of those messages over the years, but the funny thing is that you have to say it. Like, you're the one that has to say it. I mean, think about it this way. Like, if you said something that truly is in alignment with your values, your beliefs, and your morals, and you were to be fired for that, is it worth it? I have to say, yes, it's worth it. Because at the end of your life, when you look back, would you rather say, I made extra money in that career, but I couldn't stand up for the things that I believed in. I couldn't say the things that I really believed in. You know, like maybe I could have helped more people if I'd have been more vocal, but I was afraid to lose my job, right? Like, and this doesn't mean that you have to just go and introduce this stuff into politics or, you know, any types of political issues into your workplace. But if there are things that are happening that go against our values, we have to speak up. And when I see people getting attacked as a football coach because of some of his views don't align politically with a newspaper, that to me is nuts. Now, I know the other side of this argument, which is, well, when he's an employee of the school, his values represent the school. How many of these weirdo, like purple-haired people, transgender-type people that are teaching class have given their views and the school stands behind them? Right? So this thing ain't going both ways, just so we know. So we're very clear. And how many of those people do you see that, oh, the school, you know, we can't fire somebody because of their beliefs? Well, those people aren't normally getting a newspaper article written against them either. Because again, this very slim minority, they've done a great job of working their way into the newspapers, into the media, into Hollywood, into large corporations, right? And so they pass all of this stuff down and they expect you to buy it. And if you don't buy it, what are they going to do? They're going to try to cancel you. They're going to try to get you fired. They're going to try to all these things. But it's up to us that if we all stand together and we talk about the things that we believe in, whether that's our faith, whether that's our values, whether that's the beliefs and what we have and what this country could be, right? If we all stood together, that's when this all changes. But none of it's going to change until we do. None of it's going to change until we make that decision that, hey, I am going to stick up for what I believe in. I've had some awesome conversations with people that are friends of mine that we're totally different beliefs. Right? These late nights, have a few beers, and all of a sudden we're talking about religion. And I'm talking about religion to five people who are either agnostic or atheist. And you know what? Like, maybe at some point, because we have those discussions, maybe they'll see the world the way that I see it a little more. Maybe I'll see the world they see it a little more. Maybe we'll learn something from each other and we can continue on being friends. But neither one of us in those situations have to sacrifice our values or the beliefs that we have. We can be adults and have conversations. Again, it's like if this newspaper wants to go after this guy, this coach, go and talk to him about what he believes, right? These hit pieces that keep coming out and you see it, you know, whether you love him or hate him, Andrew Tate has charges against him. Now I see, you know, a guy that I actually have met a few times, Tim Ballard from Operation Underground Railroad. He has stuff against him now that he's spoken out. Russell Brand has stuff against him that after he's spoken out. And it's like the list goes on and on and on and on. Now, I'm not saying any of those guys are innocent. I'm not saying any of those guys are good people, but I do find it really odd that once you start challenging the status quo, these attacks come. And from a religious or a faith standpoint, I think that that's par for the course. Because if you are going to stand up and speak the truth in a time where people don't want to hear it, there's going to be attacks. But I think in the long term, we will be rewarded for that. Whether you believe that's, the afterlife, whether maybe you're not a Christian, you will be rewarded when you stand in faith, when you stand in truth, right? Maybe your faith is different than mine, but when you're in alignment with your truth, with your faith, all of that, good things seem to happen. You will live a better life when you are living in truth. You will. It is just, that's part of it. So again, like coming all the way back to the beginning, why do I bring this up, which might seemingly be so political, right? Because when you're living in alignment with the truth and what you truly believe in, you will be a much happier, much fulfilled person. If you are living a lie in fear that you might get figured out and get canceled, you will be a much less happy and less fulfilled person. You may make more money. You may have more social status. You may fit in the circles at the cocktail parties way better, but you will not be happier because you're out of alignment. And alignment in life is so vitally important to happiness, to fulfillment, and just to overall joy because you're living in the truth that you know to be true. Whereas again, if you go against it, I'm warning you, it will not be good. So my friends, I am asking you, I'm pleading with you, before this is all too late and this nonsense completely gets taken over, I ask you, stand up for the values. It doesn't mean you have to go and grab a picket, you know, a sign and start picketing down at the on Main Street or whatever. But it does mean that, hey, if someone asks you what you believe in, say it proud. Say it that, own it. Own your beliefs. You never know who you might be able to reach by just simply speaking the truth that you know. But on the flip side of that, if you're not speaking truth, if you're too scared, if you're self-censoring, you might miss a lot of opportunities to truly help what's going on in this country. So get out there, get after it, be strong, live in courage, live in faith, speak what you believe, and life will be better. All right, everybody, have an awesome day. Talk to y'all soon.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.